great are you, Lord. Go ahead and take a seat. Good morning, Christ Church. It's Christmas week. Is you guys excited? Amen. We made it to Christmas. 2020, we made it to Christmas. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited. Listen, Christmas is going to look a little different this year, but that's okay. That's okay, because I get to be with family still. It's my son's very first Christmas, so you know I'm excited. Again, Christmas is going to look a little bit different this year, but we get to celebrate the meaning of Christmas. Each and every one of us know that it's the coming of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. God came to visit us, to save us. So I'm super, super excited for this week. And I hope you guys can make it to our Christmas Eve services. We have three different services for you guys. If you can't join us in person, don't forget to join us online. Welcome online family. How's everybody doing? We're so excited to have each and every one of you guys. Three different services. If you need more information, go ahead and check out our website, check out our app. It'll give you guys all the stuff that you need. I don't know if you guys caught in the announcements, but Pastor Beatler, the one with the beard, tell him that pastors shouldn't have beards. I tell him that all the time. Pastors shouldn't have beards. Some of you are probably looking at me like, well, contradicting yourself. But anyway, Pastor Beatler and I are going to be starting a brand new series tomorrow. We're going to be going live on Facebook, which we're super excited about, at 6 p.m. We're going to be doing this thing called CTC, as he said. And the reason why I'm talking about this, because the goal is what you hear on Sunday needs to make its way to Monday. Because how many of us know we're not just called to hear, but we're also called to do? We're not just called to sit here and be entertained by the pastor in the skinny jeans. No, we're not called to do any of that. But no, we're called to listen, but also allow the message to make its way within our week. So I pray and I hope that you guys can join us online and be with us on Facebook, because we believe that God's message needs to make its way throughout our week. The goal of what we do today is to help us make it through the week. So when we come back next Sunday, we do the same thing over and over again. But hey, guys, we're in this brand new series that we're starting today. For the next 2 weeks, we want to end the year strong. We want to end this year on a good note, on a high note, because this year has been a year of madness and chaos and craziness for a lot of us. And the series that we're going to be in is a series titled Triggered: Hope Has a Name. Let's just be honest, 2020 has triggered us in the worst way. Can we just be a little bit honest about that? 2020 has triggered us in the worst way. And the reason why it's triggered us in a certain way is because of the disappointments, and it's because of the losses. And all of this has created a sense of uncertainty. A sense of uncertainty, but moving forward, because how many of us know we got to move forward? We got to move forward in this thing called faith. And the only way we make progress is where we're planted and rooted in God's truth. And God gives us a solution even in our greatest problems. God has a great solution. God has a great plan. God's got something that he wants to speak into our hearts, into our church, into your families. So in order for us to make progress, we got to be rooted in God's truth. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be studying this passage, probably one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Anybody got their physical Bibles out? Remember, Christians bring their Bibles to church. Everyone else, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. But anyway, for those who are watching online, listen, bring out your Bibles. We're going to be studying this passage, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. And James, the author of this book, what's interesting about him, it's the brother of Jesus, but also James, the people that he's originally writing to. See, these group of people are just like you and I, in the midst of uncertainty. The early Christians faced a lot of persecution for their faith. And what happens is because they faced so much persecution, so much disgrace, and so much shame, it led to them being scattered, and they all ran to their separate ways because of the harshness and all the crazy madness that was going on at this time. So James writes to them a letter of encouragement to help give them the proper perspective about some of the pain that they've encountered. Because here's the thing, friends. Moving forward, this might shock you. Those online, I'm sorry if this shocks you. Things may not get better. They may not. Some of us are hoping and expecting 2021 to be better than 2020, but here is the fact of the matter is we don't know that. We don't know that. And I'm not here to discourage you, but what I am here is to let you know that even if things don't get better, we get better. We get stronger. We develop. We increase. God does something inside of each and every one, even in the midst of all the craziness. Even if things don't get better, guess what? God's going to make sure you do. But if you would lean in, and if you would listen, and that's what James wants each and every one of us to understand. See, when we dig into God's truth, even in the midst of our uncertainty, we're going to be triggered in a different way. We dig into God's understanding and God's truth and God's reasoning for our uncertainty, for our pain, for our chaos, for our disappointment. We're going to be triggered in a different way. Let's open up James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Again, I'm going to start reading for each and every one of you. It goes like this. It says, consider it great joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the most odd thing that anybody could ever say to me. Can you imagine somebody say, you know, you should be happy about 2020. Are you kidding me? I would want to punch that person. But it says this, consider it great joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know, verse 3 is the a big point about today's message, because you know, or a clearer translation says, you should understand. You should come to knowledge. You should realize that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let the endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature, or that you may be perfect, so that you can be complete, lacking nothing. This is our big point of today's message. When we understand God's design for our pain, we can respond different. When we understand why things are happening the way that they're happening, we can respond different. Only when we search the meaning and the reason, that's how we can be triggered and respond a lot different. We learn to lean in, not to respond because of the moments that are going on around us, but we respond from a place of meaning. Hey, I don't like what's going on, but God's got something going on. I don't like what's going on around me. I don't like what's being lost. I don't like the people that have left me. I don't like any of this, but I know this one thing, that it's not happening without God's hand. That it's not happening without God pushing this. That something God is doing in this. And if he's the God of all good, and if he's the God of all love, and he's the God of all grace, then guess what? He's going to lead me to where I am today, to an even better place. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Maybe not physically, but in my spirit and in my soul. So the one thing that I want each and every one of us to understand, you respond better when you're rooted in God's truth. You respond better when you're rooted in God's truth. The truth of the matter is this, friends. The uncertainty we face isn't greater than the God we trust. I need you to tattoo that on your brain today. Christ Church won't pay for it, but I need you to tattoo that on your brain today. That the uncertainty that we're going to face isn't greater than the God that we trust. If anything, this series or James is going to teach us to be triggered, not by what's going on, but be triggered to a place of hope. To be triggered by hope. And here's the one thing I want each and every one of you to understand today. Whether you're in person, whether you're watching online, or even those who are hanging out with us in the parking lot. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you believe that Jesus came, died, resurrected, and is sustaining all things by the power of his hand and by the power of his word, you carry this thing called hope. And the hope that you carry, guess what? It's a hope that's worth catching. If anything that needs to spread, hope. Maybe not COVID, not fear, but hope. The world needs this hope. The world wants this hope, but they put it in all the wrong places. But you and I know that our hope is not circumstantial, but our hope is in the character and in the name of Jesus. So you are a carrier of hope, and what you carry is worth catching. And what you have is worth giving to someone. So today, I want you to understand this. As we move forward into 2021, whether it looks better than 2020 or things get worse, the vaccine may not work, things may not go on the way that we like to, whatever it may be, we know that God still is doing something inside of us. At the end of the day, let's say a prayer before I begin. Father, I thank you for today's message. Help us to break down your word in such a beautiful way. Help us to understand what you are trying to say to each and every one of us. Because God, our losses have paralyzed us. We have lost so much in 2020. And our losses have robbed our future. It's robbed our faith. And it's affected the way we respond. So God, I pray that we would get into a habit. I pray that we will get into a habit and make it a discipline, not to be triggered by what we see, but be triggered by you and your word. It would lead us to a better place and lead us into a better understanding of who you are. Help us to break down this verse. I pray that we wouldn't just hear the message and be encouraged for a moment, but it would become a lifestyle. And we would live this every single day. And if we can endure this throughout the holidays and endure this in the 2021. I thank you and I honor you. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen. Again, friends, the goal of this series is not to respond by what's going on. I get it. We watch TV, we go on our phones, and everything that we see is bad news. But as followers of Jesus, you are nothing but people who carry this thing called good news. That's the gospel that we have. So James is going to help each and every one of us to learn why we are to respond, like he says in verse 2, with joy. But before you respond, you have to understand the reason. You know, when I was in high school, one of my favorite things during the day was gym class. Now, the reason why I love gym, because I'm an athlete, but the reason why I love gym, because our gym teacher always played, we always played dodgeball. Like every single day. And you, listen, I treated dodgeball like it was the World Series. Like it was the Super Bowl. Oh, I mean, listen, if I was playing dodgeball, I'm sweating like I'm preaching. I love dodgeball. Now, I think what I love about dodgeball is the concept of it. Dodge the ball. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand you got to take the ball and try to get to your opponents out and whatnot. I get that. There was a kid in our class who was super annoying. And he wore glasses, and I loved chucking the ball at his face, watching them glasses fall off, and his face just, I'm saved by grace, okay, relax. That was before Jesus. But I love the concept of trying to dodge the ball. And, you know, people would wind back and chuck it right at me, and I would do anything. I would turn. I would do backflips. I would even jump. I'm not going to jump now because I got skinny jeans, and it's going to look weird if I do that. But I love the concept of dodgeball, watching the ball come at you and dodging it. You know, I wish I would have saw 2020 coming so I can dodge it. Because by nature, we are people who hate pain. We try to do anything in our power to avoid it, to push it away, to not want to encounter it as much as we can. We do everything we can to not encounter the hardships and the moments that we have in our lives. But how many of us understand we don't have that luxury? We don't have that leisure. And I think life's not about avoiding pain, but life's about enduring and understanding that God's working in your pain. See, I believe that moving forward, we need not to say to ourselves, well, I hope this doesn't happen. See, I believe James is going to teach us and James is going to encourage us that whatever happens, God's working. Whatever we encounter, God's working. COVID-19 might turn to COVID-20. I don't know. But I know God is still working. I know God is still working and I can be triggered. And James gives us this understanding. Let's read it one more time. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. I want to encourage your hearts today. And I want us to walk away understanding God's moving. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith, if you got your Bibles with you, circle the word testing. We're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. The testing of your faith produces endurance. That's interesting. This word produces, we're going to talk about as well. Produces endurance, and let the endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. Until we understand God's design, then that's when we start to respond different. Notice that James helps us to understand the reason why we have joy is because God tests your faith. He says, knowing that the testing of your faith, we got to be fully aware that God's going to bring trials into our lives. You have to be understanding of that. It is not something that just happens by chance, but it happens by purpose. It happens by God's motives. But you have to understand that the testing, this idea of testing is really interesting. The idea of testing is like refining metal, right? When you refine metal. And the goal of refining the metal is what? To produce a better product. That's what this definition of the testing means. And that's what the testing that God does in your life. You are being refined to produce something better in you. It's a product that's being produced. And James helps us to understand that God brings some testings into our life. And God's testing isn't intended to hurt, but rather it's intended to develop. Not to burden you, but also to build you, to grow you. As James goes on in verse 4, to mature you. That's what the testing of our faith is meaning. So here's the one thing we need to understand, that God's testing, 2020, wasn't meant to push us away from God. Really, it was meant to push us towards God so that we can fall into this grace, so we can fall into his hands. Because if anything, trials are where God's presence meets us. Trials is where God gets to meet us in the middle. Because the gift of uncertainty, it's God's presence. I've never felt God so much in 2020. I've never felt him so much. Even in all the madness, even in all the chaos, even in all the uncertainty, I've never felt God so much. But here's the thing. We need to understand God's just not meant to be known, but he's meant to be experienced. And the best way we experience God, the greatest way we experience God is when we're tested. It's when you lose your job. It's when you lose things that are going on in your finances. It's when things are lost. It's sometimes where God shows up the greatest in your life. Because some of God's best work is when we're going through the worst things. So we can see his faithfulness even more. So we can see his love and his kindness and his goodness even more. It would elevate it to a certain level. That's what James wants us to understand. So since that's the truth of the scriptures, here's the one thing we need to understand moving forward. This means you cannot expect your life to be comfortable. As a Christian, that's a lie. Our job is not to expect life to be comfortable, but ask God to make sure we're secure and sufficient in all things at all times, no matter what. Because here's the thing, you can't grow where it's comfortable. You can't grow when you're comfortable. You grow when there's pressure, when you're squeezed, when there's pressure being applied. And sometimes God applies the pressure so something can come out of you, so we can make room for what he needs to put in you. Sometimes God's got to squeeze out pride and entitlement, cynicism, and fear. Sometimes the moments that we encounter, those are what they're meant to do, so that God can put something inside of your heart. You can't make room for the joy that James is talking about until God squeezes out so much in your life. You can't make room for the joy that God wants to present to each and every one of us until pressure is applied. He says the reason is that we go through what we go through is because God's testing our faith. Number two, he says this in this verse. He said, and it produces endurance. Because there's one thing about when we go through uncertainty, when we go through pain, and when we go through losses, and when we experience those things, there's one thing that follows, and it's this thing called temptation. And what happens is temptation draws us and pushes us, and we try to do is we try to avoid and not want to go through those things. So what we do is we are tempted to take control, and tempted to lash out, and tempted to give up, and tempted to walk away from God. But James says, God, in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your pain, he produces this thing called endurance. And this endurance is meant so that you won't fall victim of temptation. So you don't fall victim of temptation. So you don't walk away. So you just won't cave in. So fear won't be your master, but rather hope becomes your master. So that anxiety and depression won't pressure you down, but rather the word of God would build you up. It produces this thing called endurance, or it produces patience. You know what James is really trying to say? James is saying we need to enter our hardships as deposits, not withdrawals. As deposits, not withdrawals. It's what God is putting inside of your heart. There's three things that we really see in these two verses. We see that, number one, God deposits a deeper intimacy with Christ. Uncertainty is meant to draw you towards God, not push you away from him. The craziness and the madness and the chaos is meant to point us to north. It's meant to point us to our true need and our real need, not for somebody, not for people, not for policies, but for a God who can work in us the wisdom that we need so we can get to the place that we need to be. See, that's the truth of the chaos. It's supposed to help us to know him more so we can have a deeper intimacy with Christ. Number two, I believe this, and I really believe that this is the heart of Christianity, so that you can develop grit, so you can have a sense of resilience in your life, so when you're knocked down, you don't stay down. So when you're punched in the face, you wipe off that blood and you stand up and you have the word of God in your right hand. So that when you are going through it, see, this is why the testing happens. This is why the moments like this happens, because I believe God builds in each and every one of his children this idea of resilience. As a Christian, when you're here on this earth, you are in training grounds right now. You're in training, and part of your training is pressure. One of my favorite guys that I love to follow is The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Some people say I look like him. It's okay. Why are you laughing, church? Don't be laughing. All right, let's go. No. One of my favorite guys to follow is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What I love about The Rock, obviously WWF days. Anybody remember the WWF, WWE days? Man, those were my times. I loved it. But in a recent article, he talked about his transformation. Because if you knew before Rock, he don't look like The Rock right now. Take a look at this picture. Listen, that's the before Rock. That don't look attractive, do it, folks. But now look at The Rock today. Look at The Rock today. That is like ridiculous, right? And the one thing I follow him for is because of the fitness and because he likes to work out. But there's one article he talked about. Watch this. He said, the reason for my transformation was because I was focused on the results, but I only got results when pressure was applied. The only way he said he got swole, he uses that analogy, is when he got sore. Go back to the last picture. Go back to the last. Now, the last picture, this picture, the before Rock doesn't look anything like this Rock, the next Rock, the after Rock. And here's the thing about pressure. It's meant to transform you. It's meant to transform you. Because I believe God wants you to have a strong faith, a deeper faith. A faith that looks like The Rock. A faith that faith that can walk around and that can get punched, that can have the weight of the world be put on the shoulders. But at the same time, I'm not going to go too far down, but at the same time, it's able to come right back up because you have been through the worst. You have been through the storms. You have seen losses. But at the end of the day, because you were able to get through it in that season, because of God's goodness and grace, you're able to get through it in this season as well too. Because of the pressure was applied, that's how you got results. Because at the end of the day, God wants you to develop an authentic faith. Because God is after to build our faith. 2020 was meant to build our understanding and our knowledge and our love for him. It wasn't to burden us. It was supposed to build us into understanding and trusting him even more. And I love how James says, let the endurance have its full effect. That means don't run away from pain. As Christians, we need to welcome it. We need to embrace it. Sure, we may not like what we go through, but we know that God is in what we go through. And he says, let this have its full effect so that you can be complete, mature, lacking nothing. Scripture reminds us that God is the potter and we are the clay. And the goal of the potter as it's sculpting the clay, the goal is that it's perfected and it's pushing out the impurities. Because there's one thing I want you to understand, that Christ calls you to follow him, but also he calls you to be formed by him. Jesus says, I want you to drop everything that you know, drop all your desires and come and follow me. But not only will you just follow me, but you would also be formed by me. And the best forming happens when pressure is applied, when life is at its hardest, and when we feel like we're stuck. See, those are the best moments. Those are the great moments. Some people say, I hope we never relive 2020. I think that's a lie. I can't wait to tell my son, your dad made it through 2020. And if your dad made it through 2020 by the work and the grace of God's hands, then you can make it through anything in your life as well, too, by carrying his truth within your soul. I'm happy for 2020 because it did something inside of me. And whatever happens next, as James says, I'm going to let it happen. Not that I want it to happen. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, by nature, my flesh, I want things to be easy. I want life to be easy. I hope life is easy. I hope I never have a hard moment in my life. But at the end of the day, I embrace the hardships when they come in our lives. You know what I love about what James is trying to tell us? In Christ, our pain, our losses, they're never wasted. Our pain and our losses, they're never wasted. Because whatever God allows, God uses. Whatever God puts in front of us is meant to do something inside of us. Whatever you lost this year, I want you to understand that this is not God punishing you. This is not God saying, I don't like you. I'm punishing what you did in college back in 1975. Punishing you what you did last week. No, God is saying, I love you so much, I'm going to put this in front of you. Because a good father, a perfect father, allows his children to be tripped. Allows his children to encounter some things in their lives. James says, let the endurance have its full effect. So since we understand the reason, this is our response. That's when it goes back to verse 2. Consider it all joy. This word consider is a very interesting word. It means that you allow your mind to be led to the end results. That yes, you're in the midst of the pain, but your mind is focused on the gain. Your mind is focused and you're taking into consideration what God is going to do through and inside of you. Joy. We can have joy in 2020. And there's one thing about this joy. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can rob you of your joy. Nothing can take you away from the love of God. And that's the reason why we have joy. We know what I see what James is saying, that the growth of our pain, the growth from our uncertainty, that's what's worth rejoicing over. You see that? The what we're going through, see, that's what's worth rejoicing over. That's what's worth having a good attitude about. Now, James is not saying that we can never have, we can never cry or we can never grieve or mourn or anything like that. He's not saying that. He's not saying that we should never be emotional. He says we should never be consumed by our emotions. We should never be consumed by the grief, by the mourning, by the anger, by the frustration, by all of those things, but rather it should transition us to joy. And friends, I want you to understand, yes, you can have joy when life sucks, when life is at its worst, because again, joy is like hope. It's not circumstantial. Because if your joy is rooted in comfort, then how things go, that's how your joy goes. But if your joy is rooted in Christ, Jesus, God, above all, living and active, working in this world right now, if your joy is in that, you see, when joy floods your soul, see, that's when Christ rules our hearts. Joy floods our souls when Christ rules your hearts. And the joy that Christ wants to give us is a joy that we can have today. So what does this mean, friends? What am I trying to get at the end of all of this? Friends, I think that what James wants us to understand, when we understand the reason for our uncertainty, the reason for the suck, that's when we're going to have a better response. We're going to respond a lot better. We'll respond a lot healthier. Our families won't be impacted in a negative way because we understand the reason. We can go to our jobs with our head held high, even though tomorrow they may go bankrupt, even though tomorrow they may go under, even though the things may not work out, but we can walk with our head held high because we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. And we have this thing called joy. I believe that James wants us to understand that we have to start putting our hope into something better, something greater. And I believe there's three things that I want you to write down as we close today's message. I want you to see yourself in this process that number one, we would submit to God's will. We would submit to God's will. We try to play God half the time, most of the time. We got to understand this, that, man, God's got to have his way. I got to let God be God. I got to let God be God. And sometimes I try to push against the uncertainty. I try to push against the pain. But if anything, I think what James is trying to get us to understand is that uncertainty is meant to make us less independent so that we can be more dependent on Christ. Uncertainty is meant to break down the walls of independence. Break down the walls that I can do it myself. Break down the walls that I got all the answers. No, it's meant to crush it. It's meant to bury it. So you can just say, God, you got to do what you got to do. And if it's meant to go this way, then have your way. As Jesus said in the garden, as he asked his father, will you take this cup from me? And what did the father say? No. No. Because Jesus knew that it wasn't his flesh will, it was his father's will. It was his flesh will, it was his father's will. It was a will for the father to allow the son to be beaten, to suffer. It was under God's will, it was under God's purpose. But notice that glory came after. Because it didn't, he went into the grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. He went to the grave, and we go into the pit, but we don't stay in the pit. We don't stay there. We got to submit to God's will. Number two, we got to submit to his promise. James, later on in this chapter, he gives this amazing verse that really ties into the very verses that we read. James chapter 1, verse 12, he says this, blessed is the one who endures trials. Favored is the one who endures, the same endurance that we saw in verse 3, the same endurance that's here in verse 12. He says, blessed is the one who endures the trials, because once he has stood the test, that's the testing again, there's the testing one more time. James is trying to push a point here, because once he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Here's the thing, friends. The great promise is not what happens here on this earth, but what we have stored up in heaven. I don't know about you, but we need a heavenly hope. We need a heavenly hope. This world is terrible. It's chaotic, and it hurts. And I believe the reason for us that we go through what we go through is that one day, as Revelation 21 says, that there'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more burden. There'll be no more death, because everything has come to fulfillment. Listen, friends, earth is your lodge. Heaven is your home. Earth is just a place you need to be here for the moment, but we get to be with the Father for eternity. We need a heavenly hope, a hope that sustains. so that people won't cave in and think about and trend on suicide, so that people won't fall into deep depression, that our minds would be led to understand that one day that when I stand the test, when I stand my ground, when I endure, when I have resilience, when I have grit, when I push through, when I allow the work of God in my life, I know one day I will stand before the King and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's pleasure, because we need a heavenly hope. Heaven is my goal. So as means, as Christians, we need to loosen our grip here on this earth. We need to stop fighting for control. Stop fighting for comfort. Stop fighting for your will. This is what it means to become a Christian when it's on this world. You loosen your grip. And you're tied to the heavenly hope that you have. Point number three, I want to end this type of way. Before I go forward, actually, there's a great story that I want to read to you about a basketball coach in the NBA. He said that there was around a time that he lost his wife to a car accident. It was a horrible car accident. And him being an NBA coach, of course, it's made public. It's well known. It's in the public eye. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. But at his funeral, at his wife's funeral, because of the godly man that he is, as people are mourning, people are upset, people are frustrated, he gets up there and he says, my wife's where I want to be. My wife is where I desire to be. So I don't mourn because she's not here. I mourn because she's where I want to be. She got to go in front of me. So that's the hope that Christians carry today. That we don't fear losses. We don't fear death. We don't fear disappointment because of the great hope that's stored up for us. Point number three, that we would submit to Christ. See, when we cling to Christ, our pain becomes profitable. When we cling to his goodness, our pain becomes profitable. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, consider him, the same word consider that we see in James. It says, think, have your mind be led to him. It says, consider him who endured, same word that we see in James, who endured such hostility from sinners so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted, so that you may not give in into temptation, so that you may not cave in to the uncertainty, but that you would tell yourself, Christ climbed the cross so I can rise in life. Christ was laid down so I can always stand up. That's what we need to submit to. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I thank you that your message reminds us that what's in front of us is meant to build us. It's meant to encourage us, but also it's meant to develop us. And I pray that your sons and your daughters would allow this beautiful truth to be in their hearts. Because, Father, so many of us have lost so many things this year. So many of us have encountered so many things this year. But we have to realize that it's by the hand of God so he can be done by the work of God. It's by the hand of God 2020 played out the way that it did. I believe that. And if your hand is on it, that means you're working in it. So I firmly say to myself, and I firmly remind my brothers and my sisters today, Lord, that at the end of the day, no matter what life brings to me, we know that there's a God that is for us. And we trust in that God today. We believe in his goodness and his work. I pray that those who feel a burden and those who feel trapped in the pain, that they would see themselves and say, as James says, I will have joy even where I'm at. Because I won't stay where I'm at. Because God's working where I'm at. In me, today, and forever. In Jesus' perfect name is who I pray. Amen.